You're doing it. No, you're doing it.
Okay. What's that?
Where do my hands go?
To yourself, please.
It's a lot of love here today.
Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
And we have a software update. Hi, my name is Wade Wegner. Welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
I do say that all seemed rather rehearsed.
Hi, welcome to Cloud Cover. My name is Wade Wegner.
And I'm Steve Marks.
And this week we are joined by Matt Winkler, who's going to be talking to us about the Windows Azure App Fabric applications. So welcome, Matt.
It's good to be here.
And we brought the alumni together.
Alumni
together. Plural. From DPE.
Mm-hmm. We're both recovering members of the,
graduated
platform evangelism. Is that what DPE stands for?
Developer Platform Evangelism.
There we go.
Yep. Those were
Shouldn't
good
it
times.
Be D and PE?
Yep. Nope. DPE.
Okay. Yes, but
yeah. The ampersand would be.
There is an ampersand sometimes in there.
It's D a silent
and PE.
Ampersand. Yeah. It's seldom known.
It's the Western pronunciation
right.
of the ampersand.
Yep.
Nice. Well, it's fun to be back.
Yeah. This is all sorts of reunions because it's an alumni DPE thing. And it's Wade's triumphant return.
Yep. From a month of paternity.
Yeah.
So you're done with the paternity thing now?
Done with paternity.
Right, no, that's it.
It's over.
He got, you know, the case settled out of court. And Wade's back.
So,
well, it's good to have you back on the show.
Yep.
I feel like things are right again.
Excellent. All right, so let's get started with the news and the weather.
Right, as always.
So, Matt, can you tell us about the weather today?
Have you looked outside? It's awesome.
It's awesome. Yeah, it is a nice day.
It is.
All right, we'll get back to the news.
This is going to get a whole lot better.
I think last week you covered the fact that the Windows Azure team blog is now covering App Fabric, SQL Azure, and a whole bunch of stuff.
I like how you're pretending you watched the show last week.
I actually did watch last week's show. Yeah.
I hear it's the one-stop shop.
That's
right. It is the one-stop shop. So a lot of our news comes directly from the Windows Azure team blog this week. So
we're going to read you this blog.
Yeah, we're just going to go through each item one by one.
That's right.
If you'd like to read along at home, it's http blogs.msdn.com whack Windows Azure.
Yep. Yeah. Excellent. That is a tough one. The first thing, though, it's actually a useful blog post on the Windows Azure App Fabric caching. In many cases, if you want to analyze some of the things that are going, for instance, if you think you're getting throttled or there are any sort of issues with the service, you want to get some configuration of traces back from the service, there's a blog post here that walks through what you need to modify in the web.config file or the app.config file in order to start capture some of this tracing. So it walks through what you need to modify for the data cache clients, the data cache client section, and then also what's interesting as well at the end, it talks about a behavior where by default, if you try to do this within the development fabric, it won't work by default because of the fact that the roles, the role processes run as two different user accounts, so two different identities. So there's a tip here on adding a trace listener so that you actually have a dev fabric listener that is able to capture the tracing information when running within the dev fabric. So good blog post. So if you're working with support or if you're on the forums and you want to be able to provide some of this tracing information back to get some insight, you can walk through this. So,
cool.
So some useful information there.
Content update. So this one is basically announcing that we have some new and improved documentation around the Diagnostics API and the Service Runtime API, and it has more code examples,
yeah.
Which I think everybody can appreciate.
Yeah, this is nice. So if you take a look, let's go directory configuration. And scroll down, you can see there's quite a bit more in terms of like information shared through the remarks, code examples. And I think in some cases, let's see, what did they say here? So there's more descriptions on the elements and how they work, code examples, and then links to related concepts. So I didn't see any links in this case, but a lot of updates to it. So there's for the diagnostics as well as the service runtime API.
Yep.
So we'll take a look at this too. Like I believe if you go to local resource, you'll see a lot of info.
This way you don't have to actually read anything or look at the parameters or whatever. You can just copy-paste somebody else's code.
Yeah.
This is the best way to propagate bugs, I've found, is to put on MSDN buggy code that people copy-paste everywhere.
So some good content updates there. The Patterns and Practices team, and I'm pretty sure it's Scott Dinsmore, has just done a release for StockTrader 5.0. So what StockTrader is it's an app that was an on-premises app that they went through the process of migrating and get set up to run up in the Windows Azure platform. And so in addition to, actually they have a running instance, full running instance that you can browse to, it's the documentation and kind of the patterns and the architecture behind the StockTrader application and then the process that they went through to move it up into the Windows Azure platform. So a nice reference example of taking an existing kind of traditional application and moving it up into the Windows Azure platform.
And it has a beautiful visual design, I understand.
Yeah, so here we can go see the live version.
Yeah.
Yep. So beautiful gradients.
Gradients for enhanced readability of the text. That's what that's for.
Yeah. But I mean, you can see there's a lot of, I mean, you know, they do a great job of putting together a lot of material and documentation and right. providing good reference architecture for it. So great example.
You know what this look, this design is? That's like when you photocopy a book, and like the page at the end of the page, it's like it's all sort of squished and dark, and like that's what this is.
Nice.
That's what they're going for.
That's great.
Last news we have, I believe.
Let's see.
Is
I think that's it. That's the news.
This one that you
just talked about. That one,
you were just clicking on, but then yes. This
oh,
one,
there we go.
Is about how virtual IP addresses are handled in Windows Azure. And so basically, I mean, read it for the details, but it talks about sort of when the IP address will change for an application and when it won't. And I think the most significant part for this is that we explain and sort of document and make some statements about keeping your IP address as long as you have something running in production. This is something we've sort of talked about before when we talk about custom domains and VIP swaps and things like that. This is how, if you need to have sort of a stable IP address, this is how it can be accomplished. Yep. It does involve having to keep something continuously running that production slot, but that's in here.
Well, it says throughout the lifetime of the deployment, the VIP assigned will not change regardless of the operations on the deployment, including updates, reboots, and reimaging of the OS. So that is pretty significant.
Right.
So you're going to have to update that famous blog post of yours with CNAMEs to include some additional information.
Right. You could potentially use an A name,
an A record.
An A name. To do custom domains and stuff.
Yep.
The tricky part, what people should remember, is that it does mean you have to keep something running, which in some cases, as we've talked about here, it's really difficult to do an update. In fact, sometimes impossible. For example, if you're adding a new port, if you're opening up a new port, so you have a new input endpoint, like if you didn't have HTTPS, but now you decided to turn it on, or you didn't have RDP, and now you want to turn it on.
So basically, open up every port all the time.
Right.
And then
this is really a best practice in terms of security, is to just open as many.
But
we have a limit. You can only open 25, so choose carefully.
Yeah. But in a case where I have, let's say, four instances, set up and running, and if I have different upgrade domains, I can do rolling updates in there. And,
absolutely.
That way, there's always something up and running reserving the VIP.
You can do rolling updates. You can do VIP swaps, too.
Yep.
I mean, that's okay.
Swaps,
and that'll still keep that. The OS patches and whatever, none of that stuff's going to disturb it. That's
great.
It. So it's good to have this actually sort of written down. Everybody went over. I was on the thread where people were. So we made sure that all the people who do the networking stuff and the
understand
this was written by engineers and then cleaned up and posted. So this is the actual truth.
Great.
And so go check that out
That's
info.
Good news. We should have led with this one. Why did we bury this at the end of the
You didn't even remember we had it.
I didn't, actually.
You tried to skip it.
I did try to skip it twice.
What's your problem with the VIPs?
It kind of bugs me that we're doing this, making it easier for people. Just kidding.
Yeah. All right. Duly noted.
There's too much ease of use in this product.
At this point, I think we should transition away from me and get to the feature of the day and start talking about
Let's
Windows
make
Azure
Matt
Fabric applications. All right.
Earn his pay.
So
we pay our guests. And we put guests up in the lovely Ramada Inn.
The Cloud Inn.
The Cloud Inn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Silver Cloud Inn, sorry.
Building 20 suites. They're very nice. All right, so what do you want to talk about?
Well, so let's start off from the very beginning. What is a Windows Azure App Fabric application?
Sure.
So
what a Windows... sorry.
It's okay.
You'll edit that out, right?
not now.
Thank you.
There's no better way to guarantee we won't edit something out than mentioning.
I'm going to get it backwards, though. Like, whichever way I say it, I'm going to end up getting it backwards. So the Windows Azure App Fabric application. Really, what we're going for here is the ability to, when you're building your app, define a bunch of stuff that you're going to use. So I'm going to use a queue, I'm going to use a database, those types of things. And then be able to deploy that as one thing, get the queues provisioned, get your databases provisioned, kind of all of that stuff. And then have a management experience on top of that entire app that's running.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it kind of spans from the developer experience to the running the app and managing the app experience. It's kind of that whole app life cycle.
Yeah.
And really, the problem that we're trying to solve is to just make it easier to author the whole application as one thing.
Right.
So, Wade, you must hate this because it's making things easier.
Yeah.
Which is apparently something you're against.
It is. No, I mean, but this is really cool because if you think about, you know, I build an app, I deploy it, it's running in a web role. Before you know it, I'm using caching, I'm using storage and Windows Azure Storage. I've got SQL Azure Database, I've got CDN. I mean, you just start adding in all these additional services, and before you know it, you've got a dozen or more different things that you're managing independently. And you can't necessarily get a single view on top of all of these things, right?
Right.
And so that's what the App Fabric application is.
Yeah,
is
and now you need these instructions again. If somebody's going to deploy your code, it's first create a namespace in the whatever and change the setting here, and which is back to sort of the nightmare of sort of provisioning things yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and really, you know, when you think about the types of apps people are going to be putting up in Azure, they end up composing a lot of these things together. Very few things are going to sit purely kind of in isolation of just a single kind of, you know, slice of compute somewhere.
So for the App Fabric application, I believe the way I've seen it described is there's like three core pieces to it, right? Mm-hmm. There's a tooling experience, right, for development and authoring and composing and creating these App Fabric applications. There's a container, which is a runtime for many of the services. So if I've got, you know, a set of WCF services or workflow or even caching to a degree, all that stuff runs in a container, which is, you know, a runtime for it. And then there's the application manager as well, which is that view on top of it that provides monitoring and management of the services, right?
Yeah.
So there's these three core components to it.
Yeah, that's a good summary of kind of the different pieces and parts. And the way to think about when we talk about the container, it's really just a smaller slice of compute resources, that we can kind of dish out pretty quickly for kind of typically kind of middle tier style things, WCF kind of code that you want to have running, you know, listening for something to come into a queue, those types of things.
Yep. Great.
So you want me to get into it?
Yeah.
All right.
Why don't we start in Visual Studio and take a look?
Yeah. So I'll start here in Visual Studio. What I've got here is Visual Studio 2010. I think SP1 is installed. You can install it on 2010 or 2010 SP1. And I've also installed the App Fabric June CTP.
Yeah.
You can find out more about that at portal.appfabriclabs.com.
Yep.
So I've installed those things. I'm going to hit new project here. And you'll see what we've done for now is we've added this App Fabric node here. This allows me to go ahead and say I'd like to create one of these App Fabric applications. There's four things that show up here. One is at the top, which is really the blank application. That's what we'll spend most of the time in today. But we've added a couple of other things here that are really kind of patterns, which are kind of a typical arrangement of a number of different services and components all pre-wired up. So you can kind of get started pretty easily, one of the canonical ones is ASP with cache.
Yeah.
Right. I just want to take these two things, you know, get them up and running. So this is kind of an interesting way to kind of get started and not just have a big empty canvas. But we'll start with an empty canvas.
Okay.
And what this is going to do, this is going to create a project here. You can think about this really as your deployment project. And what we want you to be able to do here is just build your app pretty much the way you want to. You're building it today. And so what I'll do first is tell the computer that I don't want to do any software updates. And I'm going to walk up here.
That's a security best practice, just like opening up all your ports.
Yeah.
Is decline all updates to software.
Yeah. I don't know how long this machine is set dormant, so I'm not sure how angry it's going to be at some point.
You will be rebooted in 1 minute.
Yeah. MSIT has forced you to reboot now. But I'm going to walk up here, and I'm going to say I'd like to add a WCF service library.
Okay.
This is going to just... This is the same WCF experience that we kind of have today. Let me just add an additional operation here. call it Hello Cloud Cover.
Nice.
I feel like we're involved now because it says Cloud Cover.
Yeah.
I didn't have any skin in the game until that moment.
I want to make it real. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so now let's go implement that. Let's see. Let's see. We should do something with the name. There we go. That's an awesome amount of compute that we'll go do there. You could also do something like figuring out pi or something kind of useful.
And then not doing anything with it. I like this, right? This is we're going to count it and then we're done.
Presumably you would go toss it, in a queue or something.
Right.
And so that's, I've authored my service now, and what you'll see here over on the left is what we kind of call the app config editor. And really this is all the pieces and parts of your app. Right now, it looks very much like what you see in Solution Explorer, which is, hey, I just have this WCF service library. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to do now is go ahead and just publish this. And so this will bring up a publish dialog. I have to copy a couple of pieces of data in here.
So pause the video now copy these things.
Pause the video.
Down. And,
so I can go change the... change all the passwords and everything.
You couldn't remember that?
It is a very simple, small, easy to remember.
Yeah. I just use the mnemonic, Erica killed apples and...
yeah. It's the casing I have a real problem with, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And so what we're doing here, so this is going to go ahead, take... the WCF service, it's going to create a package, and we're going to go push this up to that AppFabric application manager.
Okay.
Which is
a portal and a service running up in Windows Azure.
And so we'll see, hey, that guy is up and running. Let me go to the portal now. And what we'll see here is the set of apps that are running. So you'll see here's AppFabric App 5, which it's now importing. And really what you can think about the stages of the application lifecycle, we're going to push this up there, it's going to take the package, it's going to look inside of that, there's a file in there that writes down, hey, these are the different pieces and parts, what do I need to go do with it?
Yep.
And so that's what we've brought up here. And so while this is importing, I could then, once it's imported, I could now go and configure the app. I could go say, oh, I want a number of instances of this, or I want to kind of configure the scale properties. But I'm just going to go ahead and deploy this right now. And so this is going to start deploying, and now when I say deploy, this is when it's actually going to go and do the provisioning. It's going to create an instance of the container, boot that guy up.
So when you publish it, you're just publishing the bits, the manifests, and I don't want to say staging because we already have a concept of staging, which is running, right? But it is kind of staged, ready for you to run. Nothing's been allocated or is running on any resources.
Right. It's simply kind of propped up and kind of you can edit it. You can make some changes to it. So now we're asking the app to start. We started at 10:02. This typically takes about a minute or so, and then we'll actually have kind of the instance up and running. And so if we look here, you'll see an application diagram. We'll get into an application diagram for an app that has a little bit more to it. Mm-hmm. And so now we'll see here, we get a list. Here are the different endpoints. I'm going to go grab that endpoint real quick. Still not up and running, so we get back an error message, which is what we expect. Now let's go see where we're at. So we're still starting.
And what actually happens, you said an instance of the container. What's actually... Because I'm used to the Windows Azure model where when I provision something... When it's time to run something, that means booting a virtual machine.
Yeah.
And that's what an instance is. It's a VM somewhere with some dedicated resources or whatever. But that's not this model, right? This is more of a multi-tenant sort of... It's a smaller slice sort of thing. So what actually...
Yeah.
What's an instance? Like, what does it mean for me to be running this thing?
Yeah, yeah. The way you can think about it, like you said, multi-tenant, the other kind of buzzword that is typically associated with that is high density.
Yeah,
right. And what that really means, you can think about it mentally as a process, right? We're giving you a much smaller kind of contained slice of compute that's going to live inside of a VM instance somewhere, ultimately. Right. But what we can do now is we can pack a whole bunch of those into a single virtual instance. We can scale those pretty easily. We can move those around. We can manage those.
How does the scaling work? I mean, is it just, well, we sort of give more resources to that process that's running my bit of code? Or does it actually mean, well, then it's going to be running on different virtual machines?
Yeah.
Or
you can do both.
We're going to throw everybody else off the machine, so I've got all the space I need to do my thing? Or you know, what does that look like? And what do I have to specify? Like, yeah, I have to tell you this scale, and what is that? How do I do that?
Right. So right now, if you grab the CTP, what's really in there, the scale is really kind of still at an instance count level.
Okay.
Right. And what that really means is, hey, how many of these, you know, containers are we going to spin up? And we could place them all on the same virtual machine. We could place them across a number of machines. We've got basically a layer of indirection there to kind of manage that on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where we will get to, you could imagine really surfacing some higher level controls there, like what is the level of availability that I want,
right.
You know,
right.
And
I think at PDC James Conard and Bob Muglia demonstrated some of this, and I think we showed things like requests per second and different pivots on it, right?
Yeah.
So because it's a managed service where that's running your compute for you, you can start looking at different ways of surfacing up and controlling that scale.
Yeah.
I did notice it looks right here under application properties, containers,
mm-hmm.
is one. So is that what you're saying right now? You can specify one container, two, and
yeah.
so forth.
Yeah.
And is that in the manifest or as part of that Canvas experience you can?
Yeah, so you could go in the tools and you can go ahead and pull up and you can set that there. Also, once I publish the app, I can go through the management portal.
And do that.
You know, so if you think of more of an app administrator,
yep.
you know, wanting to be able to set that, the dev may not want to set that. And so this guy's up and running.
Yeah, and no, even though we paused and talked for a while, notice it says 10:03. Remember you said it would take about a minute?
Yeah.
It was 10:02. It did actually finish at 10:03.
Yeah.
So there was no lying there.
Nice.
Yeah. And so now we've got running an instance of a WCF service. And so what I'll do, I'll go to the WCF test client, and I'm going to copy and paste that URL in here. We're going to say, okay, this is going to go out, it's going to query the service, it's going to generate some WSDL, and it's going to pull that back. You know, we don't, when this WCF service is publicly exposed, but it is also secured, so I can't have unauthenticated callers calling into it, but we can go and get the WSDL and pull that back, and so you'll see here that hello cloud cover operation that we added has been pulled back down.
Got it.
And so now I have a WCF service that's up and running.
Cool.
So next step will be, hey, I want to add some more to this app, right? And you know, what you saw me do.
But it already does so much.
Yeah.
yes. It already computes the length of a string
and then discards the result.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of it.
It could all be optimized away, actually.
Yeah.
that's true. But so what I can do is I can walk up to kind of Solution Explorer and I can say add a WCF project. What I don't have today is really a good way to walk up and say I'd like to add a queue. I'd like to add a database.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way that we're going to do that right now is say, I'd like to add a new service. And what you'll see here, this is going to bring up kind of a palette of services that I can add into my application.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some of these are going to be things that you know you could already do via projects because you're going to go write some code for WCF or for workflow. But there's a number of others here in terms of, hey, I'd like to add caching. I'd like to add blob or table store.
Yeah. Service bus topics.
Service bus queues, topics,
yep.
Subscriptions. So we'll just grab an Azure table. I could go ahead and, if I want to, I can select that and configure some of the details around account key and what provisioning action I want it to take, those types of things. But what I'm going to do is now I want to use that table from my WCF service. And the way that I'm going to do that is I'm going to add a reference to that.
Yeah.
So this will bring up a dialog that allows me to kind of navigate the app and say, hey, that Azure table is what I want to add a reference to. And what that's done for me inside the WCF service is it's gone ahead and added a couple of names of assemblies references for me. So that's just kind of a nice kind of convenience thing.
It's like the storage client library and various things. Okay.
And so then we also do a little bit of code generation. You can think about this similarly to when I add a reference today to a WCF service, we'll go generate a proxy for you.
Yeah.
Obviously, something like a table already has a proxy, but kind of getting to it's a little tricky.
Right.
And we want to be able to get all of the right config data inside there. So we basically abstract all that out to create import one. And you'll see what this guy is going to return here is a Cloud Table client, right? And so now I'm going to get back a configured Cloud Table client that I can then start using in my app.
So that, like, the credentials got fed in here because, well, I specified, because when I said I have a dependency on this thing, you pointed out the properties. Presumably somewhere there I put in
storage client.
Right.
I specified the account name, whatever.
Yep. And then they're linked,
right.
Which means my code gets to be sort of, you know, gets to be independent of all that stuff and abstracted away from the specific credentials I happen to be using for this deployment of this code.
Right.
And said, cool.
So that's kind of the, you know, this is the, just putting kind of the our toe in the water in terms of kind of composing things together and kind of saying, hey, I want some Azure table here. Yep. You know, there are, you can control the provisioning behavior. So with SQL, for instance, you can attach a DAC pack.
Yep.
The DAC pack will then get run. Yep.
Generate you your know, SQL objects.
To generate all the SQL stuff that you want. Mm-hmm. And so that's another kind of instance of what you could do there. You know, we could take this a little bit further. We don't do it in the CTP right now, but you could imagine if you had kind of reference data that you wanted to load up into a table or blob store or something, you could also associate that or SQL, you know, reference data that you want in there.
But I could also, I saw that there was a project type of like code. If I wanted to, I could, you know, put code in there and have it set up such that when it's, you know, starts up or
something,
go ahead and seed it with data.
Yeah. The code service is really exactly
what
you think it
is. Raw compute.
Here's a loop. Go do something.
Yep.
You know, so if you wanted to kind of do some of that startup stuff, you could do that there.
Yep.
You know, or if you had, you know, if you wanted to kind of have a you know, a polling mechanism to kind of listen on a queue or something. Although there is nice integration between WCF and the service bus queues, so you can just wire those guys up and just listen on service bus queues, kind of natively in WCF.
Right.
So you don't have to kind of do the
So you don't have to do a polling loop.
Yeah. And that gets you a nice kind of a nice model around, you know, typed messages coming in on a queue.
Nice.
So
cool.
Other thing I'd like to do real quick is just show a larger application. And so this is one that's kind of based on an e-commerce site. Let me pull up. So what I've done here, you can see that this app is has a little bit more going on. It's got couple of different ASP.NET front ends. It's got a WCF service that's sitting up front that's also kind of my web API layer. And I've gone ahead and configured a number of the relationships between this. And as I get a more complex app, you know, the table view is good for kind of a compact view of what's in the app, but it's not as much kind of from a relationship perspective.
Yeah, and so we've also it's a little harder to understand how the different services and stuff reference each other.
Yeah, so. And so using the diagramming stuff that's in Visual Studio now for the various architecture tools, we've built an app view on top of that that lets me see the application and its relationships.
Let
me zoom in a little bit here to kind of see what's going on. And we think of this really as kind of a logical view of the application. This is simply what are the pieces and parts and what are the relationships between them that have been captured as I'm building my app. I can also kind of I can flip this over to more of a deployment view, which is going to show me a little bit more detail in terms of how this is going to actually get laid down into the containers and the various web roles and whatnot. And so if we go here, you'll see, hey, I can see kind of where the web guys are going to get put down. I've specified that I want this set of services to kind of live together in the same container. But I have a different service over here, which is the notification service. You know, and this is a code service that just kind of sits and wakes up every 5 minutes and says, hey, do I need to send any email to people who have placed orders in the last 5 minutes? And the reason that I want to put these in two separate containers here is I may have different requirements on these. Like, if the order processing one goes down, like, that costs me a lot of money, right? Because my business is no longer processing orders. So I may kind of crank up the scale or reliability characteristics on that. Whereas the emailer, hey, okay. if we don't send emails for 10 minutes rather than 5 minutes, that's okay. Right? And so I could crank kind of the reliability constraints down on, yep. on that guy.
Yep.
And so that's building an app. What else do you want to show?
I had one other question. So back in Visual Studio, you were showing a publish directly to mm-hmm. a provisioned portal and instance, but there's also a local development story as well, mm-hmm. right? So you can still run and do active development locally yeah. without having that dependency and needing to push to the portal.
Yeah.
So as I think with the CTP right now, it's a closed or private CTP or invite or however it's termed.
There's a wait list.
Yeah. So as you're waiting for a little while, you can still move forward with using local development.
Yeah. And so what's going on there? We are kind of anybody can go download the CTP.
Yeah.
You can play with the bits, local SDK. You can debug things on the dev fabric. So you can do all of that stuff. What we're kind of slowly ramping up is opening up people to publish apps into Azure, yep. And that's something we're just kind of as folks are coming on board, we're slowly onboarding that. We're learning how this thing is going to run and kind of seeing how it reacts.
Yep.
But you can go. You don't need to wait for approval to kind of start playing around with this or sending me feedback.
Yeah, or people can email you to get access faster, right?
Actually, bitcoins to the email message.
They can email Wade, and that email address is...
I'm sure it's easy to find.
Okay, and if I actually want to sign up, the place where I do that is portal.appfabriclabs.com, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the place to go for all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you look...
Click the little button at the top.
Well, yeah, so when you get in there now, not only is there Service Bus, ACS, and caching, but there's applications.
Right.
So you can select that, and then you need to go up to create a new service namespace for the application. Right. And then when you create the new service namespace, you'll give it a name. I don't remember if there's any other things that it asks for, but you'll basically click OK, and then it'll be like, all right, thank you for adding it. We'll process this. And
thanks for asking us to create a namespace.
Exactly.
We might do that someday. Right? So at that point, you're on the list, and it's subject
list.
To,
yep.
I mean, there's demand, and
there's quite a bit
and there's
demand.
Supply, yep. and so you just have to pay a lot.
Exactly.
So send check or money order to the Cloud Cover Show, P.O. Box 167.
Just one Microsoft way.
Oh, yeah, one Microsoft
way. Don't forget
way.
To include shipping and handling.
Redmond, Washington.
Yep.
And but a self-addressed stamped envelope for us to send you back the credentials.
Yeah, we will send you a token.
That's how we do it. Very cool.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is there anything else? I mean, that's how people can get to it. They've seen basically what it does.
Yeah.
If you have the SDK, you can do it. You can do it now.
The one thing I didn't show, there is kind of a whole management experience as mm-hmm. well. So when you go into the portal, you can see all the properties of the application. You can configure those.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of logging data that's going to come out. And then also...
You don't have any errors. That's good.
You don't have any errors yet. And then once the app is kind of up and running and doing stuff, there'll be a bunch of monitoring data that's pretty interesting because you get service-specific monitoring data. And so... for your web stuff, we'll surface kind of web-relevant data, average request time, those types of things. For SQL, we can surface a different set of information that's kind of relevant, and you can watch that as your app is up and running.
That's great. So. Excellent.
Cool. All right, well, I think we're at that time now.
Steve's favorite time.
It is absolutely, it's everybody's favorite time. Come on. So, if you're hearing this now because you've been skipping around in the player in Channel 9 to try to find the tip of the week, you're there. We're about to do it. And I think to celebrate Wade's triumphant return to Cloud Cover, I think maybe we should have sort of like a reunited montage, perhaps to the tune of Reunited by, I don't know who sings that, but Bob, I'm sure, will track down the thing, and maybe that's will be.
He may find
our,
a different Reunited than you're expecting.
It's possible, but I think it's important to celebrate that Wade and I are together.
Back together again.
I don't want to get in the way here.
So Bob, enjoy, and everyone else. I hope it's something we can all enjoy. And with that, here is your tip of the week.
Together again.
You guys were so nice to me last time I was on the show.
Yeah.
I prepared something for you. When he comes back in, you guys are just kind of going.
We're together again.
Yes!
And we're back. Yeah, I know. It got to me, too. It's just right in here. So we wanted to talk about like configuration settings in Windows Azure, how to deal with them when they change. And I think we have...
Well, and it came up because we were taking a look at some of the updated management, or the the updated management diagnostic API.
That's right. Resources. That's right. We were looking through there and we're like, what should we talk about? And I was like, hey, this one's really good. And Wade said, I didn't know how to do that, which means we figure if Wade doesn't know how to do it, well, I guess that doesn't really mean a lot, but some of you might also not know how to do it. And so if we could just pull up that, it's just in the documentation. The role environment class. Switches to C#. It's actually the last code example on the page that I think is really the super cool one.
There we go.
So that's this is the code that says, that sets up an event handler so that when the role environment changed, you get a notification, your event fires, that lets you deal with things like configuration setting changes. So what this does, you see the line that says like of type role environment configuration setting change, that basically takes whatever changed, filters everything out except the things that were config settings, and then lets you do, in this case, trace message.
Yeah, whatever you need to do, right?
You could go look at those settings, change some behavior in your app, do something because the setting just changed. I sometimes use this to put the snapshot URL of a drive, and then in here I would unmount the drive that I have and mount the new snapshot, whatever. This is your place to have code that handles the configuration change. Now you can ignore this, and the next time you look at the config setting, you'll get the new value and whatever.
But if you need to take action,
if you need to do something when a config setting changes, you can do it here. You can also set this, the argument you get, the event args that you get, is a cancelable event, which means you can do e.cancel equals true. Mm. And if you do that, it will request that your role gets recycled. So if you get some config setting change and you're like, crap, that means I have to restart everything, you just do cancel equals true, and it means that your whole instance will sort of, it's config settings are always done in a rolling update, so they're not all going to go disappear at the same time. But this way, they'll sort of reboot themselves. Yeah. So those are the two common things people do in this. They either go, okay, well, anytime this changes, I actually have to restart because my initialization logic and whatever needs to change. Or they just handle it to go and do something active based on the config setting. So anyway, that's how to do it. It's nice to have a handy code snippet for it.
Yep.
There's already documentation for this event, but it's hard to see the pattern of how to use it.
And again, now I can just copy and paste it.
You can just copy and paste it, and then every time settings change, you will trace them.
I will trace out something.
Which is, it's more useful than the WCF service we made.
Which was just I equals
the
length of the name.
Which assigned it to a local variable and then threw it away. At least this thing traces.
I think you were going to put it into the table, right? The Windows Azure storage table.
Yeah. I thought he was just going to cache it, so next time he didn't have to check the length of the string, just go to the cache.
I do want
to
be careful about how much compute I use.
Right, because calculating the length of the string is tough.
I mean, it could be a long string.
It could be a very long string.
Really, that is true. on that note...
Excellent. So what are we covering next week?
Next week, I thought we would cover how to construct a custom workbench.
But I was able to get the benchtop done, at least for now. I'm not going to put on the edging or the hard Masonite top until later.
That's what we're going to be covering next week on the show. If you think that's a great idea and you'd really like to see some more of that, then tell us on Twitter at @CloudCoverShow. Are you on the Twitters?
I've heard of it. It's a thing.
Yeah.
The kids are doing it.
Yeah, they are. That's for better or for worse. The kids are on the Twitters.
He's on it. I think you're M. Winkle.
At M. Winkle. M-W-I-N-K-L-E.
Winkle. I pronounce it Mwinkle. Just
you,
like that.
You can. They ran out of R's
Mwinkle
when they gave me my alias.
Yeah. That's weird. There's just that one more letter to go.
It would have only been one more letter, and I would have had my whole name. But
no.
No.
Okay, so you can tweet him, too, and give him a hard time about whatever.
Do.
Like the weather report. Lame, right?
Go look at the weather. It
is pretty awesome.
It is, actually. It was an accurate description of the weather.
How awesome is it, Steve?
It's fucking awesome.
Stop the program!
Okay,
all right.
So talk to us on Twitter. We will see you next week. Thanks.
Thank you.